So Peter describes this longing that we have to live a godly life. He talks about it like newborn babies. Hang on, there we go. He talks about it like newborn babies craving pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow up, with the result being salvation. It's kind of interesting in the Greek there, the words kind of blend together where it's word milk. I don't know about you, but any time I mix something with milk, unless it's chocolate, it really doesn't tend to go well. I know I didn't like the strawberry milk or, you know, ice in milk. I guess that's questionable. Some people like that. But when it comes to the word, that word milk that God blesses us with, it's what we need to live and to grow, to continue to be nourished and filled. It's what strengthens us in our fight against temptation. Hunger for it, crave it, receive it, dig into it, knowing that now that you have tasted it, oh yeah, the Lord is good. As an example, as we go take a look here today, I invite you to open your worship folder to the bottom of page 6. We're going to take a look at 2 Chronicles chapter 34. I'd also invite you to open your pew Bible or use, if you have an app on your phone or brought a personal Bible with you today, look at 2 Chronicles chapter 34. We're going to take a look at some selected verses here. This is the account of Josiah. Understand that Josiah came to the throne at the age of 8, followed a godless father. There were several godless kings before he came to the throne. And now he comes on and he's got people around him, and he is good King Josiah amidst a bunch of bad kings. So let's take a look. 2 Chronicles chapter 34, it says, Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he ruled as king in Jerusalem for 31 years. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. He walked in the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right or to the left. In fact, by the age of 16, that next section there, he's clearing the land of all the idolatry, smashing altars, executing pagan priests, cutting down poles. I mean, he is cleansing the land. 16 years old. That was his love, his desire to serve the Lord. And then by the age of 26, he turns his attention to the house of the Lord, where the temple has kind of fallen into disrepair. So keep in mind, it'd be kind of like nobody coming to church for years, decades. Think this place would start to kind of fall apart? Yeah, absolutely. So Josiah says, no, the house of the Lord, this needs to be, it needs to be fixed, it needs to be cleaned, everything needs to be kind of put back to the way it was, and they start the work. And as they go through it, they find a Bible. Now again, put this in perspective. Imagine that none of you own Bibles, because you can't. I mean, like the technology isn't there for you to have a Bible. And the only place you can get it is here. But nobody gets together here. No services are held. No Bible is read. And after decades, the place has fallen down. And somebody comes in and they start clearing off the altar, and all of a sudden they find a Bible sitting there. Look what we found. And they go to King Josiah and say, look, the law of the Lord. And it was probably most likely the scroll of the book of Deuteronomy. And Josiah sees that scroll and he recognizes immediately how far they have drifted from the word of the Lord. And he tears his robes in sorrow over these decades of ignoring God's word. But he doesn't stop there. This is where it continues on. As they open the scroll and as they read the scroll, his excitement is palpable. It says, when they brought out the silver that had been brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord that had been received from the hand of Moses. Hilkiah responded by telling Shaphan the secretary, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. Hilkiah then gave the scroll to Shaphan. Shaphan brought the scroll to the king. He also brought this report to the king. Your servants are doing everything they were assigned to do. They have emptied the silver found in the house of the Lord from the chest and have delivered it to the overseers and to the workmen. See, I'm pretty sure that would never happen. In today's day and age, you know, somebody just left the offering on the altar and nobody bothered to take care of it. That probably wouldn't happen now. But it did at that time. Shaphan the secretary then told the king, Hilkiah the priest has given me a scroll. Shaphan read it in the presence of the king, and when the king heard the words of the law, he tore his clothing. The king gave this command to Hilkiah and to Ahikam, son of Shaphan, Abdon, son of Micah, Shaphan the secretary, and Uzziah, servant of the king, go and inquire of the Lord for me and for those who remain in Israel and in Judah concerning the words of the book which has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that's being poured out on us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord by doing everything that is written in this book. And so they inquire of the Lord, and the word comes back through Huldah the prophetess that, yes, God will punish his people because they have turned away from him, but because Josiah tore his clothes, not because of the outward sign, but because of the sorrow over where things had been, because he was cleansing the land, because he was pointing people back to the word of the Lord, that Josiah would not see the destruction that God would bring. And in his joy, it says, the king summoned all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. The king went up to the house of the Lord with all the men of Judah, with the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests, the Levites, and all the people from the least to the greatest. In their hearing, he read all the words of the book of the covenant which had been found in the house of the Lord. Can you imagine what that'd be like? I mean, decades not going to church, decades not hearing the word of the Lord, and then the messengers come out, come, we're meeting at church, and we're going to read the word of the Lord. And everybody turned out from the greatest to the least. So hungry were they to hear the word of the Lord after all of that time. The king stood in his place by the pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk in the way of the Lord, to keep his commandments, his testimonies, and his statutes with all his heart and with all his soul, and to uphold the words of the covenant that were written in this book. Then he made all those who were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin stand up and do the same. The inhabitants of Jerusalem acted according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. Kind of sounds a little bit like confirmation, right? You stand up in front of the congregation and you pledge your faithfulness to the word of the Lord. And Josiah removed all the abominations from the land that belonged to the people of Israel. He influenced everyone in Israel to serve the Lord their God. In other words, influence, like led by example, encouraged, didn't threaten, didn't command, didn't mandate. Sorry if I'm stepping on any sensitivities there. But influenced, led God's people in his joy to serve the Lord their God. Throughout all his days, they did not turn away from the Lord, the God of their fathers. Well, let's take a closer look. We got a couple of questions there we want to talk about. It says in verse 19, we see, I missed the first point there. How quickly the word was lost in Judah. It had been only two generations since good King Hezekiah reigned. What can you think of that? What can you think? I think I didn't write that right. Valued in the past that and no longer has this. What can you think of that was valued in the past and no longer has the same value today? I used to have this really cool box that would hook up to my Commodore 64, and it took these cool things called floppy disks that were about that big. You put it in. Have any other examples? Pardon? Eight-track tape. What is that? No, I'm just I'd never owned a car that had one of those, but I'm aware that they existed. I know what that is, an 8-track tape. Anybody else? Remember getting my first CD player? It was 1987. Used confirmation money to buy that. it worked. I think I finally threw it away. Oh, 25 years that thing worked? It was amazing. It was probably the best piece of technology, but I thought it was really cool. Phone booth? Isn't that true? Like, you see one today, is there, you just assume there isn't a phone in it. If it is, it doesn't work. There are a few, but you don't see them too often. So why do these things, why are they valued, and then why do they go away?
Technology.
And why is it that way with technology? Yeah, so once you don't need that anymore, then that goes away and you go on to something new. How different with the word of the Lord, right? Word of the Lord endures forever. That was in the quote of the psalm that we had in our sermon text from 1st and 2nd Peter, or from 1st Peter 1 and 2, 2 and 3. Sorry, got a lot of scripture passages going through my head today. Looking at the next question, in verse 19, we see the law cut King Josiah to the heart when he tore his robes. However, fear of the law is not what motivated a change in behavior. We see that motivation in verse 32. Describe it. This is interactive. What's the motivation in verse 32 to be in the Word? Yeah, people pledged themselves, that they saw it as something that was important, and they made it a priority, and they made it a regular thing. We talked about routine habit in the video, that they said, this is something that we don't want to lose again, and they made it a priority. Anything else you see there in verse 32? Yeah, take the lead and others follow. It's a kind of, there's a group aspect to it, right? That we encourage one another. Sometimes what we need is being able to join with somebody else. You know, if like, I really want to be in the Word, but I have such a hard time doing it. Find a friend. On this day every week, we're going to get together and we're just going to spend 15 minutes going through the Word. You know, it really is. It's about getting over the obstacles, not necessarily being so great at self-discipline as it is just helping each other make the Word a priority in your lives. What was the effect of the Word on the people? They acted according to the covenant. How different than it was before. They didn't receive it with, here we go again. Oh, boy. No, they received it with joy, and in fact, it made a huge difference because they, with their king, walked in the way of the Lord. It made a huge change. Not only was their faith, but their actions followed faith. In our Bible study this morning, we opened up by a couple of attendees, husband and wife, were the devil's advocates. Terrible position to be in, but they were willing to do it, and they did a great job. But they were saying that, you know, they had the Word when they were little, and now they don't need to be in the Word anymore because they know that, and they're fine. But as we talked about, babies crave spiritual milk. What happens if they don't get the milk that they need? What can happen if we separate ourselves from the Word of the Lord? And those are all threats, right? Those are all things that kind of go, uh-oh, you better watch out. If you're not connected to the Word, bad things are going to happen. But if you look at number three there, it says, often in our everyday lives, we see the law motivate behavior, but not change hearts. Do you have examples of that? Okay. Sure. Do you want? Okay, talking about fasting in Israel, that people were fasting, but it wasn't actually changing their hearts, right? Maybe you know how this goes, where you're like, okay, Maybe it's every January 1st. All right, this year I'm going to exercise. Because, you know, I just got my blood counts back, and I just went through this or that test, and if I don't lose some weight or if I don't get a little more exercise, then things are going to go bad. How does that work? Sometimes there are some people that switch gets flipped and bam, they are often literally running. But for most of us, how long do you last? A week? Two? What do they say? The average New Year's resolution lasts about 2 weeks, I think. That's what they say. Because the law doesn't actually motivate. It might get us to jump. It might get us to, you know, I always say if I stand here and somebody threatens me with a bat, I'll move. But is that really what God is after? No, he's after the heart. He wants this to be something that we do with joy. And so as we look at God's word, we look in this section with King Josiah. Not only does he recognize that they had been distant from the word and bad things were going to happen, yet really what motivated them was the connection with the Lord. It was their heart relationship with him. And so as the people reconnected with the Lord and his word, they recognized that they had this relationship with God, and it impacted how they lived. That God-lived life was not about the actions, it was about the relationship. The relationship that we have with the Lord and his word, and the place that it has in our lives. So, in what ways can people see that the gospel has impacted your life? You're sitting here today. I'm going to make the assumption that the gospel is part of your heart and life. How do people see the gospel at work in your life? Have to ask them. All right, that's not helpful to answer the question, but I get your point. All right, everybody, let's go. Spencer has some friends we need to go talk to. I know this is a little bit of, you know, braggadocio that I'm asking of you, but as we see the gospel at work, I mean, it is that spiritual milk, once you've tasted that the Lord is good, it has a huge impact on your life. Or how do people see that in you, that light of the gospel? You can give credit to the gospel, not you. I'm not asking you to brag. I'm asking you to point to the gospel. What do people see in your life? Go ahead. Yeah, how you treat people, the value you place on them, the importance that God's word has in your life. Going to church is a regular thing. Just I'm repeating so that you can hear throughout the room. What else? Contentment. Who said it? Oh, contentment. Yes, that there is, hey, God's got this. No matter what it is, God has it. Yeah, contentment. Excellent. Yeah, your attitude, how you talk to people, how you interact. Yeah, the value you see everyone as valued souls, as God sees them. One more, anybody else? How do they see the gospel in your life?
Peace.
Okay, that doesn't matter what happens in this world. That we know what's coming. And we can be at peace because we know that we're at peace with God, and because of that, we will have peace forever. And people see that and can feel it, and they know there's something different about you. Flash.
That you have joy, that if there's sadness or it's a joy that comes beyond their situation.
Yeah. I think that a lot of us probably have had that happen where somebody has commented, you know, like, how are you getting through this? How are you able to be who you are in spite of all that you're dealing with? And so often it's just because of the Lord, because of the place that he has because in my life, because of the grace that he has shown me, because of the faith that he continues to nourish, that faith through his word. And it is a witness very clear to the world around us. Now, question number 5, it talks about ensuring that the word is treasured for generations to come. And I'm going to take it at this point into our program and give you a little better idea of what's coming. So the concept is our personal discipleship plan. Over the next 4 weeks, and I meant to have my pointer out here, but if you see the bullet points down to the bottom to the left, our four emphases of a life of being a disciple, a life lived for others, a life of hospitality, and a life lived shrewdly. And then off to the right, you'll see those four emphases in this matrix. And across the top are different areas of life, just to kind of help kind of categorize things a little bit. As you look at this month of February, a life of discipleship, how do you do that in your family, in your community, here in our New Life congregation community, the Wells, our church bodies, world at large, out there, or here locally, out there in the world, and then finally in our church world, but then out there into the world community beyond. And it's just a way to kind of help you kind of divide up and say, okay, as I look at the place God's word has, as I look at my life of discipleship, these are places you can go down the list and kind of say, okay, here's what I'm doing and here's what I'm not. These are the specific directions here that I just went through. There's a bigger version of the matrix itself. And for February, we're just going across the first row, a life of discipleship. And then these are some suggested activities. Like as you look at your life and you go, how could I make God's word more a part of my life? These are a bunch of ideas that were put together. Pick from this list if you want to, or look at the list and just give thanks that you're already doing some of these things. This is really between you and the Lord. It's not about anybody else. It's not meant to make you feel bad. It's more just to give you that opportunity to look at your life, take a moment to step back, evaluate, give thanks, celebrate, and maybe challenge yourself to something a little bit further. Now, if you need some help, there are some coaches available. I'm available, Jason Harper, my wife Siri. If you just want to talk through it with somebody or have some questions, feel free to contact us and you can take that further. But as I said, the way this is going to work is we have worship today. We had Sunday morning Bible class. We had our special worship focus. Following worship today, there'll be a further discussion on the sermon in our growth group. That's at 11:30 here or at the Fleshinsky home at 1 o'clock on Tuesday. There'll be a monthly email that'll come out on the 1st. And then every Wednesday of the month, there'll be a devotion to kind of help you think about it some more, take it a little deeper. If you haven't done it already, give you a little reminder to take a look at the emphasis for the month and do that evaluation process so that we can be in contact with God's word in a more and deliberate way.